Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. You can't get more whodunit than And Then There Were None, Agatha Christie's classic mystery novel. This Sunday and Monday, Lifetime adapts this tale of mass crime as a four-hour miniseries. Executive producer and writer Sarah Phelps joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from England. Staying with adaptations, Nickelodeon serves its long-awaited version of the hit Jack Black flick School of Rock tomorrow night. Jim Armagita, half of the brother-brother duo who developed and executive produced this series, tunes up with us next half hour. And then we go original with Separation Anxiety, TBS's new relationship game show. Executive producer Rick Reback connects after the top of next hour. Also ahead, breaking news from the CW and the answers to this week's classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. Live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy to have you with us on this Friday afternoon for the program All About Television. Special 90-minute edition, 60 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. It's been warm all week long here in the Big Apple, and it's going to be a warm time over the next hour and a half right here on Blog Talk Radio. Wonderful guests coming away from all over the place, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, you ringing up. The way you do it, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Another way you're involved with us, our chat room at blogtalkradio.com. Simon Apple 04 by name. Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Sarah Phelps from Lifetime And Then There Were None is live with us from England after these news notes. All series running now on the CW will be back next season. That's breaking news for the last half hour or so. And that includes Supernatural going into its 12th season on the air, The Vampire Diaries, Jane the Virgin, and rookie Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and another rookie, DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Also, Ray, which begins its third season on the CW in April, will also keep going with new episodes in 2017. Outsiders has the green light for a second WGN America season next year. HBO has a new miniseries, The Night Of, coming this summer. John Turturro and Riz Ahmed co-star, with Schindler's List writer Steven Zaliman co-writing and directing. This is the television series originally known as Criminal Justice that Sopranos star James Gandolfini was working on when he died in 2013. He will get executive producer credit on the program. Nearly 12 million people watched CNN's Republican debate last night from Miami, and Univision, which had the Democratic debate between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders earlier this week, also from Miami, is back on AT&T's Uber systems nationwide, but only until 1 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Efforts to reach a new carriage deal are back on the track, but meantime, sister networks Unimas and Galavision remain blacked out at this hour. And that's news notes for today. One of the great classic mystery novels of all time is Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None. There have been many examples of it in the media, a 1940s film starring Louis Hayward, a 1960s film starring Hugh O'Brien, Wyatt Earp himself, and now Lifetime is presenting it for the first time in miniseries form. 4 hours, 2 hours a night, this Sunday and Monday night. Joining us live from New York, I should say from Sussex, England, Suffolk, England, excuse me, in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producer and writer of And Then There Were None, Sarah Phelps. Sarah, good evening to you. It's 8 p.m. where you are, shortly after. We're delighted to have you with us.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. So, Sarah, how long has it been since thinking first about adapting this classic Agatha Christie novel for television?
I suppose it's been about over 18 months. It was about, I was asked to read it and read it and went and spoke to Agatha Christie's grandson, who was the head of the her literary estate, and said what I'd like to do with it. And then I wrote all the episodes very, very quickly in about about 3 weeks. I was very underslept, which kind of suited the mood of the piece, I think, where no one is getting a decent night's sleep at all because it's just too terrifying. And yeah, it's been actually very, very fast from writing it to filming it, to getting it through the edit, to having it on screen. It's been a real roller coaster.
Why was it such a roller coaster?
Well, principally because the way TV, you know, the way TV works in England, as I'm sure it's the same as the way TV, works in the UK, not just England, is that by the time you've been commissioned, you're generally packed. You're generally then very locked in, you know, into a schedule of when a show, especially like a show like Agatha Christie's greatest novel, is going to be hitting the screens. So we started filming in the summer, and we were filming over the course of the summer and into roundabout, sort of, I can't even remember now, that's how much of a blur it was. But and then you're going through the edit and doing all of that. So it did feel really, it felt very, very tight. But that's kind of exciting and very, very, you know, it's very adrenalized.
This novel is considered one of the great classics of all time in the genre, and Agatha Christie, of course, one of the great writers of any type of novel or any type of short story. And maybe there are people who have seen the original film with Louis Hayward from the 1940s, black and white, the color version known as Ten Little Indians, which is the other name of the book as it's known, starring Hugh O'Brien in the 1960s. Was it very difficult to expand from what was a two-hour film in both cases into a four-hour miniseries?
I'd never seen the films, and I make it a rule when I'm adapting a book to, as much as possible, as much as I possibly can, to not watch any other adaptation and to only read the book. Because, to my mind, if I'm going to watch another film or another adaptation or another miniseries, then I'm going to be influenced by another interpretation, and the only kind of influence I want is the novel, is the author. So I wasn't even. I've had a terrible cold, so if I get a bit gravelly, I do apologise. So I'd never seen any of the film adaptations, and weirdly, I caught one the other night, which was on a late night channel, and it had Oliver Reed in it, sort of like running around in a massive jumper, and it just looked really. It took me a while to work out what it was, even though I knew it really well. So that felt really strange. So it didn't feel like I had to push the novel at all. I just had to let the novel breathe and tell me what it was about, in a way.
Why?
Excuse me.
No problem, Sarah, by the way, with the voice. You're coming through loud and clear. Why is this book considered such a classic? What about the plot or the tone or the style or some would say the charm of this is considered a classic?
I think it is because there's always been a genre of the country house murder mystery, and that's sort of always been seen as rather fun, where you have strangers or people who know each other a little, and everybody's rather polite, and they have clipped, received pronunciation, accents, and they gather in a country house, and then there's a body on the floor. And the murder mystery proceeds principally because a detective, a twinkly-eyed amateur sleuth, like Miss Marple, like Hercule Poirot, will arrive and find the culprit. They will find the perpetrator. They will unravel all the plot and motive with this grandstanding brilliance because they, the outsider, are cleverer, more intelligent than anybody else. So there was always a sense within that genre that there was something safe about it because somebody would come and explain it. Somebody would come and solve the mystery and take away the kind of like the night terrors and switch on the lights again and make it rational and make it all comfortable again. And then there were none. This doesn't happen. 10 strangers are invited to an island, and the island is cut off from the mainland. It feels like they're on the edge of the world. They're invited there by, you know, a mysterious host who knows a great deal about them. And while they're all there, gathered together, making polite conversation, they're all accused of a terrible crime. And then, following that, one by one, they all start dying. They all start being killed, and the killer is one amongst them. And there is nobody coming to help. There's nobody coming to save them. There is nobody coming to explain the plot. They are entirely alone with the thing that they've done. And that is absolutely terrifying. It completely elevates the, I mean, it kind of transcends its own genre. And when I was reading, I was, what, you know, I was thinking, my God, you know, this was published in 1939. So Agatha Christie wrote incredibly fast. So she would have been writing this in 1939, and it would have been published very, very soon after, because she had legions of ravenous fans who wanted to read everything. So by the time she writes this, in the summer of 1939, Britain, and indeed the world, are poised on the precipice of another world war, of having just come through the last one in a matter of decades. They are now about to go into another one. And when I was reading, I kept thinking, all these strangers, all these products of the First World War, are now here at the end of the, at the edge of the world, and coming towards them is this savage reckoning. And it felt like one of those novels which is absolutely about its times, about the terror, the uncertainty, the deeds done, the deeds unresolved, the terrible things done in the dark shadows. And completely about its times, completely about its times and its paranoia and its fear and its terror and its uncertainty, without actually stating ever that it was about its times. It never mentions really the outside world. It hints at the kind of like the war, you know, the fact that the General MacArthur is, you know, has been in the First World, has been in the First World War. It hints of all of it, but it never states it explicitly. And sort of placing the story, the plot, this really gleefully delicious plot, right in the centre of, and sort of sinking a taproot down into its history, I felt gave it even more oomph, even more impetus. It is so frightening because also, besides that, it is a portrait of a psychopath. And the coldness of the story, the fact that there is no mercy and there's, and it's really truly remorseless, just takes it up a notch. It takes that whole genre of the country house murder mystery and it just absolutely kicks it over the bar. It just raises the bar like you wouldn't believe. I found it, I was astonished at how brutal it is. Absolutely astonished and thrilled, but really taken aback at its savagery. I've really talked a lot, haven't I?
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, and I want to get to this in a second, about how you treated this novel compared to how other people have been treating it, along with the fact that, you know, you have 4 hours to work with rather than two or three, so it allows for the
In the UK, it's three hours. So I think that the US broadcast you might find rather than four is still three, and it's 90 minutes. It's two 90-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. And the first of those episodes, by the way, runs on Lifetime this Sunday night, 9:10 Pacific time. The second one is 24 hours later, also at 9 o'clock on Monday. We've got Sarah Croft on. She is the executive producer, and she is the writer of And Then There Were None. It's Lifetime's latest miniseries based on the Agatha Christie classics. She joins live from Suffolk, England, a small village in that neck of the woods, right now here on Tamavi Televised this half hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. If you have a question or comment for Sarah, don't be shy. Make that phone call. She'll hear it across the Atlantic at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick with our friends from Philadelphia is in the room. This is the third of three episodes that we are doing this week. We were on Monday and Tuesday earlier. We're back with our regular Monday-Friday schedule this coming week. And joining us for our Monday show will be Mark Rocco. He is the executive producer of Fox's special coming up next Sunday night, The Passion. Live from New Orleans, it's The Passion play like you've never seen it done before, the live streets of New Orleans and the French Quarter specifically. And it's hosted and narrated by Tyler Perry with a very interesting musical cast. Mark Rocco from The Passion joins us live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific here on Tamavi Televised. And 1 week from today, our lead guest will be perhaps the hottest episodic director in U.S. television, Anthony Hemingway, the director of American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, and the director and executive producer of Underground will be my lead guest. Anthony Hemingway from both series live with us right off the bat next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. As I said, with the added length, you have the opportunity to flesh out the characters, because when we've seen it in the movies, you know, you meet these characters, they all get together, they find out they're all in danger, and then one by one they get bumped off. But I'm curious how you decided to flesh each of these characters out. What do we learn basically about these characters beyond, okay, you're here because you've been accused, that you know, you've done a crime, some unfortunate mass injustice to humanity?
What do we learn about them? Well, when I was reading it and when I was writing it, I would never have been able to imagine why anybody would be interested in watching those characters unless you knew more about them. It's not the fact that they've done something, it's, you know, it's why. Why did they do it? Why were they compelled to do something which, you know, was the first step in this sort of like this hurtling route to perdition? And unless you really invest in the character, unless you really get inside their skin and understand something and understand them, then you don't really understand their crime. And if you don't understand their crime, then you don't really feel anything for the murdered body on the floor. You don't really feel anything for the story. So why would you care about the crime or the character or what's going to happen to them? You have to flesh them out. You have to really, you know, be inside, you know, see the world through their eyes, both now and back then when they did the terrible thing that they did. You have to understand their world. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point of doing it?
I've seen both of the movies, the 1940s black and white starring Louis Hayward, which had pretty much not a big all-star cast, a lot of no-names or not well-known names. Louis Hayward was probably one of the few known at the time, which was sort of, it took a matter-of-fact, pretty close adaptation of the Christie novel. The Ten Little Indians color adaptation had more of an all-star cast led by Hugh O'Brien of Wyatt Earp fame, very popular TV star at the time, Fabian, the popular pop star as well as actor, a number of other notables, and was played a little bit more for camp. It didn't take itself too seriously. But what were you saying before? It sounds like you really wanted to bring out, as you said, the savagery of the novel, that this is not just, you know, like a lark in the park.
Well, no, I didn't think it was a lark in the park at all, because it's, you know, I find it really strange when we talk about so much that we started to treat murder as an entertainment. There is still a life that's been taken and a life that's been lost, and there's sort of like this body on the floor and there's blood everywhere, you know. And it feels weird to me that it becomes this kind of camp, sort of, it becomes vaguely camp. Now, I'm a huge fan of that. You can have great fun with it. But this book it demanded more, and it felt like it was tapping into something much, much deeper about, I don't know, about us, about humanity, about sex and class and gender and, you know, what, you know, how, under what conditions might we be compelled to either look away or to do something absolutely bloody bloody awful? And so then it was about like our weaknesses and our pettinesses, and I just really felt that it would have been an injustice to treat it lightly. I find it quite weird when things like that are treated lightly. That makes it sound like it's really, really unendurably heavy. It's got a beautiful, elegant plot, and there is some really black humour in it. I enjoyed writing very, very dark humour into it that comes out of, I don't know, social clumsiness and just the odd things that people say at moments of high stress. So there is some really black comedy in it, but it's gallows humour, I think.
You've also got a very interesting cast, including some people who have gotten Oscar nominees and Emmy nominations and Emmy wins, people like Sam Neill.
Oh, my God, the
Sam
cast
Neill.
Is incredible. The cast is incredible.
Charles Dance from Game of Thrones, Miranda Richardson, who is an Oscar nominee. That's pretty top of the line, and that's just for starters.
Yeah, they were amazing. I mean, when I went into the read-through, I did kind of look around the room and go, I actually can't believe that all these people are going to be in this. And it was, it was really quite astonishing. And they all worked incredibly together. The dynamic was electric. It really was. Because some of them knew each other very well, so they really played off each other, which they would do anyway because they're brilliant professional actors. But it was a real pleasure to watch them.
And then there were none. It's the new Lifetime miniseries based on the Agatha Christie classic. It begins Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, continues 24 hours later at the same hour. We've got Sarah Phelps. She is the executive producer, and she is the writer of the program. She joins us live from Suffolk, England, right here on Tomorrow We Televise this half hour. Happy you're with us on this Friday afternoon. For Sarah, it's Friday evening, just getting underway. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Have a question or comment for Sarah? Bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Once again, coming up on the program Friday, our lead guest will be Anthony Hemingway, the acclaimed director of The People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story on FX. He also is one of the key directors and an executive producer on Underground, which premiered on WGN America this past Wednesday night, and is off to the races as we speak. Sally, you've sort of made a career in television of adapting famous novels or novels by famous people. Last year you did The Casual Vacancy. It was an HBO miniseries. Johnny Campbell, the director of that series, was on our show last spring. We had a great time with him. And I understand you've done other work, including some Dickens work. What gravitates you to doing adaptations of literature? What's the fun of that for you?
Do you know what? Genuinely, the whole thing came about almost completely randomly. It had never been in my mind where I thought, I know what I want to do. I want to adapt some loads of Dickens, and then I want to do this, and then I want to do that. I adapted Oliver Twist. I was asked to adapt Oliver Twist, and I never even imagined myself doing that because that had gone well, and I thought I'd really like to do Great Expectations, and fought quite hard to do that. And it honestly was one of those things where you kind of go, hang on, I seem to be doing these. You know, I seem to be working on literary adaptations quite a lot. How the hell did that happen? And it kind of comes as a surprise to you because it wasn't something that was ever planned in the first place. I got a call saying, do you want to have a look at this and have a go at doing Oliver Twist? Which is quite a tall order when you consider that that book has been adapted like 50 times in various forms. Like, what new do you have to say? But kind of going for it, and then finding myself, you know, some years later talking to you in New York about Agatha Christie. It's one of those things where you look up from your desk and go, oh my God, this has happened. But the kind of pleasure I get from it is that sometimes it's really good to, I don't know, bring books that people. A lot of the times people think, you know, you think you know these books, you think you know what these books are about, and they can be quite shocking when you go back to the book and go, actually, it's about this. Actually, it's terrifying. Actually, it's savage. Actually, look at this. Because each time somebody else brings something new to it, and I think perhaps what it is I just like, I don't know, making people sit up and think about the books again. I think that's probably what it is.
Mm-hmm. With The Casual Vacancy last year, did you get any feedback from J.K. Rowling about how you adapted her work?
Yeah, she was very complimentary and incredibly supportive because she is an absolute legend and, you know, a total boss woman. So she was very across the scripts as they came in. And I'd spoken to her at length about what I'd like to do with the novel, and she was completely supportive and incredibly generous.
So what's next for you? Another adaptation, or do you dive into something original, something right out of your own creation?
Well, I've got something bubbling that I'm working on, which is a sort of epic grand. Well, I hope it will be an epic original. So I'm working on that. And I'm simultaneously working on another adaptation for this Christmas, which I can't say too much about at present.
Is it a Christmas story or something that's like totally opposite for that time?
Oh, it's only a Christmas story if you're really. It's funny because Anemone Nun was shown in the UK at Christmas. And Christmas, you kind of imagine that everybody's going to be full of the joys and everything else like that. And you show this bleak story about murder and guilt and violence. And it went down an absolute storm. So for this Christmas, again, it's a dark tale, you know, a dark tale, which is best for winter. It's best for the short days and the long nights. So it's another quite bleak story.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you do a lot of like grit, dark, savage kind of material. Does Happy Your Brain ever say like, "Hey, Sarah, try something a little funnier"? You know, black humor and also you know, super satire. Once in a great while.
Well, I don't know. Maybe maybe it's just my brain. Maybe these books are actually really cheerful. Maybe they are a laugh a minute, and it's just some horrible alchemy in my own brain that turns them into something else. But I don't know. I like to think that even when I'm writing something that's pretty bloody nasty, there's always a good joke in there.
Mm-hmm. And they can be found, I am sure, this Sunday night at 9 p.m. for the first part of And Then There Were None. It's Lifetime's new miniseries, again, it's based on a great classic actor thirsty novel. Sunday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time on Lifetime, and follows another 24 hours later with part two. Check your local listings where Lifetime is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.mylifetime.com. It's www.mylifetime.com. And if you have seen either of the famous movies, I think you are in for a treat with this very unique miniseries, another great take on one of the great, great people in the world of literature. Sarah Phelps, the executive producer and writer of And Then There Were None, the miniseries. Thank you for taking your time on Friday night to be with us. Your time. Pleasure to have you aboard. Congrats also on what you did with Casual Vacancy last year on HBO, and all the very best for more great work from you ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Have a terrific weekend. Take care.
And you. Bye-bye.
Sarah Phelps from Then There Were None, joining us live from Suffolk, England. We'll be back with more of Tomorrow's Televised, including our classic trivia question of the week and our next guest at the bottom of the hour after we pause for some words from Audible.com. We were just talking with Sarah about the great work of Agatha Christie, and you can find a lot of it for your audio pleasure. How? Audible.com. You know, it is a wonderful leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information, and that Agatha Christie is among over 180,000 titles to choose from. I'm sure many of her great books, including And Then There Were None, are in that library. And guess what? You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now. The best bet is if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. And by the way, if you do sign up for the service, it's very low price, under $15 a month. You can cancel any time and keep what books you get. And if you're not an Agatha Christie fan, but if you are a fan of British television, well, there's a lot of great titles for you to choose from there, like a lot of Doctor Who. And if you're a Neil Gaiman fan, you're waiting for American Gods coming on Starzplay this year. One of his best books has a great cast. It's Neverwhere, with a wonderful cast, including the late and great Christopher Lee. It's all available to you as part of 180,000 titles of audio literature, audiobooks that are exciting, inspiring, informational, and always entertaining. So check them out. Get that free audiobook, one-month trial of the service, up your way at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. And don't forget, because Audible is an Amazon company, the customer service, top of the line. Audible.com, a great provider of inspiration, entertainment, and information, all in the sound of your ears. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Time to give you the answers. Yes, we have multiple answers to the question this week. Unfortunately, nobody got it. The question we posed on Monday and also on Tuesday was, name a TV series hosted by Walter Cronkite, the former anchor of the CBS Evening News, longest-running news personality in television history. Again, it was name a TV series hosted by Walter Cronkite. And we had multiple answers. There was The 20th Century and its sequel, The 21st Century. There was You Are There, the original series for adults where CBS News correspondents in the 1950s went back in time to report on the great moments in world and American history. There was the children's series of You Are There in the early 1970s. And there was Walter Cronkite's Universe in the 1980s. So there were at least five answers to that question. And so nobody, unfortunately, because nobody got the question right, we had Nobody Dies in Hollywood, the wonderful first novel by acclaimed TV writer producer John Wilder. So nobody won it this week. We will have it back next week, so we'll post the question again, new question on Monday. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your mailing address. And first correct answer wins the prize. We'll offer another guy in Hollywood again. We may have another prize, too, as a choice. And you can also tweet your answer to hashtag TWBT. That's hashtag TWBT. Remember, that hashtag option is made available by the folks at Hopscotch, the people that invite all of you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how from Marty Monaco and the wonderful crew at www.hopscotch.com. When we come back, we go live the other way to Los Angeles, and we will speak with one of the key people behind School of Rock, which premieres tomorrow night on Nickelodeon. Developer and co-executive producer Jim Armogita will join us from L.A. after we call back to the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. We're home for the best internet radio on the planet. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Michael Yo Show. Get Yo, comedy, and much more with Michael every week. Various times right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR available with you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to part two of our special 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Televised this Friday afternoon. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Glad you're with us. Another great guest coming your way in the next half hour. So ring it in if you got a question or a comment. The number you use, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. One of the most anticipated products in children's television is finally happening. School of Rock, the hit Jack Black film and Broadway musical, is finally on television tomorrow night at 9:30 on Nickelodeon. And joining us live from Los Angeles is the co-developer with his brother and executive producer as well, Jim Armogita. Jim, great to have you.
Great to be here.
So how did you and your brother Steve come up with adapting School of Rock?
Well, Paramount called us and asked us if we were interested, and we were incredibly excited because, like most people, we're huge fans of the movie. So for us to get the chance to, you know, tell the story to a whole generation was really fantastic. So we went in, and we sort of gave them the pitch on how we would do it, and they liked it, and then we went and they pitched Richard Linklater, which was a really fun to do, and he had some great thoughts, and you know. We were all on the same page, so we took off from there.
Richard Linklater, of course, the wonderful writer-director, was the writer-director on School of Rock. What did he say to you about how to adapt it? What kind of direction did he give both you and your brother?
Well, just first of all, Mike White wrote the movie. Richard directed it.
I stand to correct it. Sitting comes sitting down, so go ahead.
Well, I don't want to take credit away from anyone.
Absolutely, neither do I. So.
But... you know, his real concern was how to make it relevant to a different generation. You know, he didn't want to just do a carbon copy and look back because times have changed, things are different. So that was really what he wanted us to think about, which you know was a great note. I think you know, the movie's so good and it's so iconic. You don't want to do an exact – you're not going to make an exact remake because you're not going to have Jack Black. So it's important that, you know, we wanted to do something that kept the spirit of the movie and touched on the same themes but didn't try to do exactly a remake.
How did you and Steve and everyone else involved come up with the cast? Because that's very important. You want a cast that has chemistry, that can play good music. And we saw it last week at Nickelodeon's Up Front where we had a clip of Shut Up and Dance, which is one of the songs I believe is in the first episode. So how long did it take to come up with the band, the kids, that would project the chemistry of the music and also the chemistry of what they deal with?
Right. Well, that's a great question. It's actually... you know, casting was actually a really fun process, but also, you know, we had to cast a wide net because it was really important for us to find kids that could play as well as act, which wasn't easy. Just like, you know, with the adaptation of the whole show, we didn't necessarily need to cast the exact same types of characters, but, you know, we wanted to cast kids that deal with real issues and seeing so many kids, we really tried to tailor it to the kids that stood out, what would be issues they're dealing with. But for us, we just cast a super wide net, you know. There are a lot of talented kids out there. It's really amazing how many kids are playing at a high level and really great actors as well. But the fun part of it was discovering people that you might not expect. I mean, we found Ricardo Hurtado, who plays Freddy. He sent in a video, and he was in Atlanta, Georgia, and he had only to that point done theater at school, and he sent in a video of him playing guitar, and we thought, oh my gosh, this kid is great, but we don't need him to play guitar. We need him to play drums. And then the next day we got a video of him playing drums, and it was like, oh, okay, great, perfect. And we had seen Bree, who plays Tamika, on another Nick show called Haunted Hathaways, and she's a terrific actress, and she's got amazing comic timing, but we didn't realize that she also was a great musician, and she came in and she was playing guitar and singing a cover and actually doing a what we thought was a better version of that cover, that song, and she was playing guitar though, and we wanted to combine her character, the singer, with the bass player. And, you know, within 2 days she was playing bass like a bass player, not like a guitar player playing bass, but like a bass player. She's really terrifically talented. You know, and we have stories for all the kids. It's really interesting how that came together.
Was that important to make sure that when you produce the season that you have stories featuring each of the individual band members as well as everybody at the group doing what they're doing?
Yeah, actually, that's sort of the key to turning it into a series. And you know, the movie and the musical have an ending, and for us, the band, the story of the band and getting to the Battle of the Bands is a great leaping off point. You know, that's an arc that we can use for the whole season, the band's arc of getting to the Battle of the Bands. To fill out the season, there were all these nuggets of stories for each individual character that, you know, by the nature of the movie, they didn't have as much time to explore. And because we're on TV and we have a number of episodes, we can really dive deeper into the things that the kids are going through and really tell the kids' story, you know, and see their perspective on it that you don't see as much in the movie. So that was a great opportunity for us.
School of Rock, the long-awaited, and I might add long-anticipated TV series version of the hit Jack Black movie and the Broadway musical, comes to Nickelodeon tomorrow night at 9:30 Eastern and Pacific time. And we've got one of the co-developers and executives of the show, Jim Arrugueta. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and Apple Band, we're live from New York. I have a question or comment for Jim. Don't be shy. Let your fingers do the walking. You do the talking at 646-652-2906. 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Rick Rev is in our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at blogtalkradio.com. So get in the room, get on the phone. We want to hear from you because what you say matters. Coming up Monday on Tomorrow We Tell Live, we'll preview The Passion. It's Fox's musical special that premieres next Sunday night. Hosted and narrated by Tyler Perry and originating live from New Orleans. Mike Rocco from Dick Clark Productions is one of the executive producers. He joins us Monday, 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Tell Live. And coming up a week from today, as we mentioned in the first half hour, Anthony Hemingway, the acclaimed episodic director of American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, and now Underground, where he also is not only a director but executive producer, premiered Wednesday to rave reviews on WGN America. He'll be our lead guest a week from today. That's March 18th, right here, 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Another person who's involved in the series is someone that in the animated world is very well known, Jay Kogan from The Simpsons. He's no stranger, Nick, with Henry Danger. What was it like for you and Steve to work with him?
Oh, it was great. It's awesome. He's a terrific guy, and he's a ton of fun. And you're right, he has done a lot of great stuff. In fact, he was the first person we wanted to bring aboard. So it's been terrific having him here. All TV shows, there's a writer's room. It's a collaboration, and it's important to get a bunch of people that you really like hanging out with, because you're going to hang out with them a long time when you're doing the show. So I can't say enough good things. I mean, he's funny, he's fun, and you know, having that kind of experience to help you out is a great deal.
Tony Cavallaro plays Dewey Finn, the Jack Black role. What was important for his performance and that what you wanted to have? Because as you said earlier, you did not want him to duplicate. There's no way you duplicate Jack Black. So what kind of character did you want him to do?
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, we went into it knowing, you know, look, we're not going to get Jack Black. We don't want an imitation of Jack Black. But we wanted somebody with that spirit and that passion. And Tony came in, and he's a Groundlings guy. Do you know the Groundlings group?
Very much.
The
greatest
comedy group here in LA. So he came in, and he was bouncing off the walls, and he got up on a chair that was rolling, and you know, people were like, we were afraid he was going to hurt himself, but he totally had the passion that Dewey Finn has. And but not only that, he and Jack Black does an amazing thing where he can go big and be really grounded, and Tony has that same quality. So while it's not an imitation, you definitely feel that same kind of vibe from him. And when we saw him, we pretty much knew this is our guy. This is our Dewey Finn. And it was early on in the process. So, of course, we wanted to see a bunch of other people just to, you know, make sure. But we always kept coming back to Tony. And he's amazing. He's really terrific with the kids. He has incredible energy. You know, you can see it coming off the screen. He's really terrific.
One of the things about both the movie and your show that's really commendable is that, unlike other programs where you have, or other movies of this kind where you have the kids getting into misadventures, these are kids who are pretty grounded. They live by the rules. They try to follow their own dreams and their own stars, and that's pretty commendable to showcase in a series where you still have to provide comedy and music and keep a light spirit to things.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's interesting. I think it's in the setup of the show. You know, I mean, these kids are high achieving. They go to a prep school that's, you know, pretty demanding. And they have goals for themselves. I think the interesting thing about it is maybe they're in a place that's where they can have fun and they can't behave like, you know, kids as much. So it's nice when a person like Dewey comes into their lives and sort of shows them a different path and kind of inspires them to go after goals that are their own instead of anybody else's, like the schools or their parents, you know. He kind of teaches them that they can reach for something else and have a little fun as well, which is the setup in the movie, and that's something we thought was important to keep. The other thing that we love about it is that, you know, for us, we didn't want to talk down to the kids, just like the character of Dewey really doesn't talk down to the kids. You know, he's actually a big kid, and he's trying to do something that most adults have put behind them if they ever tried it. So there's that connection there. But yeah, telling the kids stories like that and keeping it grounded in really what kids are going through is important to us.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier Shut Up and Dance, which is from the hit group Walk the Moon. And you have a lot of songs on this show that have a, like, independent rebel spirit. What I Like About You, the famous romantic song, Lips to the Moon by Meghan Trainor, The Kids Are Alright, one of the great songs from The Who in the 1960s, We're Not Going to Take It, Dee Snider's Twisted Sister, Heart Attack from Demi Lovato. I'm curious if there was a pattern in picking the musical selections that you followed.
Not really a pattern, but I guess a basic underpinning of who Dewey is and what he's teaching these kids, you know, and where they're coming from. I think that sort of, you know, that starts you off on the sort of kind of a more rebellious spirit. there's an episode where Zach learns to sort of stand up to his father, and Dewey teaches him a lesson about the revolution, but it's the revolution of 1976 instead of 1776. And so we get to talk about all the punk revolution. So that, you know, the kind of music that it's fun to see the kind of music influences Dewey has, and the kind of meeting the kind of influences the kids would have. And then finding their own versions of those songs when they come together. That's one of the funnest parts. And, you know, Nickelodeon has a really great music department, and all the writers on the staff are really into music. I mean, there's a wide range of tastes, but everybody's pretty passionate about music. Some of us have played as well. And so music is really important to us for the show, whether it sets a tone for an episode or whether it actually folds into what the story is and is part of the story. And we also have a really terrific composer named Gabriel Mann. So when we want to write our own, you know, we do all these great covers, and, you know, from contemporary covers that are hits now to, you know, all the way back to The Who, that sort of influenced everybody now. But we also get a chance to write, you know, have them write their own songs, which, you know, we might start a song or a lyric or have a theme, and we'll just talk to Gabe about it, and Gabe will come back with an incredible song. So it's really been fun.
We're speaking with Jim Armogeda. He and his brother Steve co-developed and executive produced School of Rock. It's Nickelodeon series based on the hit film and Broadway musical as well, and it premieres this Saturday, tomorrow, 9:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And we've got Jim Larvis from Los Angeles right here this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy to have you aboard this Friday afternoon before a great weekend in store. And all you have to do to be involved in the program is give us a ring. 646-652-2906. That's the number to call from anywhere you are listening to us, worldwide or nationwide, here on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's on blogtalkradio.com, so use it, as Rick Webb is doing, where he is in Philly, the city of brotherly love. A show that maybe some people don't know you do, but I do because I was a big fan of it on the Disney Channel, was Crash and Bernstein. That was the wonderful human puppet show, and the puppet was fantastic, by the way. Love the dialogue between the two of them. What was it like doing that show with you and your brother?
Well, thank you. I that's great that you're a big fan of it. In fact, the creator of that show, Eric Friedman, was on our writing staff for this show as well. But that show was a ton of fun. You know, Eric Friedman created it, and you know what it was for us? It was like Looney Tunes, you know? You could do things with the puppet that you can't do with live action, with actors. And being able to, you know, we so often were thinking about how we could do big Looney Tunes type jokes, you know. But it was a ton of fun. It was the first kids show that Steve and I had worked on, and we had a great time. And you're right, the puppet was amazing. Tim LaGosse played that role, and what's funny is you're on set, and between takes, Tim stays in character. So you really start to think of Crash as a real person, because he'll talk to the cameraman or he'll talk to the person that's coming, you know, and touching up other actors' makeup as the puppet. And you just, he's so good at it, you kind of think, oh, he's a real person.
I had a chance when Disney Channel did an event here in New York a couple of years ago to meet both the star and the puppet, and it was just, you know, You just got real with the puppet, you know, just right off the bat. You didn't think of, oh, there's like somebody down below the desk holding the hands and making the voice.
Yeah, it's kind of people probably don't understand it until you've been in a room with somebody who's really good at that, but you do. You just start treating them like a real person because, you know, they are, but it is kind of odd how you know, you'll say something to them, that character, and you know, it's just a person's hand talking back to you, but somehow it works.
We got a real person on the phone, Jim. Trust me, and we're bringing him up right now. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, you and Jim are on the line. We're happy you're with us.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Rick.
I'm just wondering, since you're using, first I guess my question is whether you ever considered doing a show like this animated, and my question, why I'm asking that question is because, a lot of Disney shows, which you've worked with Disney, sometimes there's, 3 years and then they're out because the kids kind of grow up. So do you have any concerns with that, with the School of Rock, where the kids may start growing mustaches and such?
Yeah, that's a good point. To be honest, no, we never thought about doing it as an animated show, although I'd watch that show. As far as the kids growing up, that is the limitation for a lot of these shows. You know, the kids get older. But, there's a possibility, it seems to me, to continue on for as long as we want. You know, new kids come into the school. But for our kids, you know, we're going to follow their journeys as long as people are interested. The funny thing about kids is some look older sooner, some, you know, there's such a variation in how old a kid looks at a certain time. You know, some are smaller, some are bigger, which actually helps us. But it is a good point. I'm hoping that our kids are fun and interesting enough that people stick around for as long as we can keep the show going, you know.
Cool. I'll definitely be checking it out. And just another quick question. Is there any, educational content or anything like that in it, too? Like will they kind of be learning guitar chords sort of surreptitiously or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Oh, just back to the aging question. The other thing about that is that the good thing about them aging is that you can touch on different things they're going through at the different ages, which I think is, you know, kids change very quickly, so that's fun. As far as the educational stuff, yeah, we're you know, interested in both parts of that, the music education and how they learn stuff as musicians, but also, you know, they'll be learning stuff in school. The interesting thing to me about Dewey's relationship with them is that even though he's not a real teacher, he's got lessons that he can teach them. You know, that they're not going to learn from the kind of teachers that are just teaching them straight out of a book. You know, he's got life lessons and he's got a passion for something. And in our version, because he wants to be a teacher, you know, he's going to learn to teach them in that realm better too. So there are some educational aspects of it. It's not, you know, it's nothing heavy-handed. It's just naturally, we're going to see them in the classroom a lot, whether it's, you know, learning lessons from him or learning music and playing music together. But, you know, just like I mentioned the punk revolution that he teaches them about. Well, that's, you know, that's a good lesson. He filters everything that, you know, typically is coming out of a textbook. He would filter through the, you know, his musical background and you know, that's the way he looks at life, and so that's a fun way for him to teach them lessons.
Cool. Well, looking forward to checking it out, so wishing you success, and thanks for answering my questions. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. You too.
Thanks, Simon.
You too, Rick. Have a fantastic weekend. Rick Webber, good friend from Philadelphia, joining us today on Tomorrow Be Televised. Jim, you have a really amazing executive producer core around this series with you and your brother Steve. You have, as we mentioned, Richard Linklater, the original director. You got Jay Kogan from The Simpsons. You got Scott Roon, who is as big a film honcho as there is. You got Eli Bush, who did The Newsroom for HBO. Also, there's Machina, which won the visual effects Oscar. Really surprised a lot of people at the Oscars 2 weeks ago. What has it been like for both of you to work with these people? And when you work with your brother, whether it's separately or with a group of producers like that, you know, really super talent, how do you work the give and take between the two of you?
Well, I mean, look, it's great to have talented people around you. I mean, the more talent you have in the room, the better the show will be. And you don't want to be precious about that. So it's great to have them aboard. You know, for us, the biggest thing that Scott and Richard could do is make a great movie that gives us, you know, really interesting and fun characters that we can continue telling their story. And, you know, I mentioned before Richard gave us a couple steers when we were pitching it that were really helpful in turning it into the series. But so, you know, the more talent around, the better. And all that input is great. TV, as you know, is a very collaborative medium. You know, we've got a lot of writers in the room, but it goes well beyond us. I mean, it goes to every person on the crew is really important and brings something to the table. So you want to take their talents and you want to put it all up there on the screen. So it's great. It's great to have that support system. It's great to have that input. And as far as Steve and I working together as brothers and the give and take, you know, I think being brothers is great preparation for becoming a writer that works in TV with other teammates. You know, when you're writing, you've got a staff and you've got to negotiate things. Everybody's got an opinion. You've got to, you know, figure out which way to go, but also, you know, how to listen to everybody else. And a lot of that, you know, a lot of the fighting we had done as kids means that we can communicate now and, you know, have fights, but not get so upset with each other. And you know, it's more discussions. We're not going to do anything worse than what we did when we were kids, you know? So it makes it a lot easier that we're brothers and that, you know, writing, we speak the same language. We have a lot of the same influences. In fact, Steve is the reason, you know, I became a writer. I mean, he was the person who was making us watch, you know, foreign films when we were in elementary school. He just, you know, all my TV and film influences came from him as a kid. So it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun to work with your brother. To me, it makes it easier. I know a lot of people say, oh, man, I could never work with my brother or sister. But for us, I think it helps us. It makes communication easier. And there's no time when we have gotten in a worse fight as adult writers than we did as kids.
Whether you're a child or a child in mind only, as an adult, think you're going to have a lot to like about School at Rock. It premieres tomorrow night on Nickelodeon. That's 9:30 Eastern Pacific Time. Then 1 week later, it goes to its regular time period, which is an hour earlier, 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local listings for where Nickelodeon is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, it's www.nick.com. It's www.nick.com. Once again, premieres tomorrow night at 9:30, following week, an hour earlier at 8:30 Eastern and Pacific Time. Jim Arnugida, the co-developer and executive producer of School of Rock, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on what you're coming out with starting tomorrow, and I have a feeling you're going to have a wonderful run. The band is terrific. The look of the show is great, and I think you've done everybody involved with the original film and the Broadway musical wonderful, wonderful justice. So all the very best with it.
Oh, thank you so much. That's really nice. I hope so. Should be fun.
All right, we will be watching. Take care.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Jim Arnugida from School of Rock, joining us live from Los Angeles. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about television. Happy to have you with us this Friday afternoon, getting ready for a terrific weekend. I know here in the New York area, we're expecting more 60s and 70-degree weather as the weekend goes on. Coming up on Monday's program, among our guests, we'll have Mark Bucko. He is the executive producer of The Passion. That's the Fox musical special live from New Orleans, hosted and narrated by Tyler Perry, 1 week from Sunday. And then again, coming up next Friday, our lead guest will be perhaps the hottest episodic TV director of the moment, Anthony Hemingway, from American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, and Underground, where he also serves as one of its executive producers. The show just premiered Wednesday night on WGN America to rave reviews and great viewership off the bat. That's Mark Rocco from The Passion on Monday, Anthony Hemingway, American Crime Story and Underground. They're both joining us Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, next week right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, if you want to catch up on recent episodes, you just came in on this one, here's where you go, our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you can check me out on Mondays here in the New York area for BK Live. It's the noontime talk variety hour about all things Brooklyn and beyond. And we hope to have on the program somebody who's made a new film about an interesting dance group in Bed-Stuy that may be doing a television series out of it. So check us out and see if we do that. That's coming up Monday on BRIC TV. You can watch it anywhere in New York City on Verizon Fios. Also throughout Brooklyn on Time Warner Cable, Cable and Systems RTN, and then post the next day both the episode and the segment at youtube.com/BRICTV. When we come back to LA we go, and we will speak with 5x5 co-founder Rick Reebok. His latest episode is Separation Anxiety, the new relationship game on TBS. He joins us after we pause at the top of this hour, right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. We're pausing, of course, for Web ID. And Blog Talk Radio is your home for the best internet radio around. More than 25 million people around the world listen every month, and then some. And it's your home for Ask Fly Lady. Yes, one of BTR's most popular personalities rules the roost every Tuesday. So ask her, Ask Fly Lady, Tuesday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern and 7:30 Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you want to catch the Blog Talk Radio podcast, our show, and others, go to Apple TV 2.0 and check out the new Apple TV iTunes podcast app. It's available when you get the Apple TV 2.0 set-top box from your local Apple store and at Apple Online. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised on this Friday afternoon, third part of our 90-minute episode. Welcome to those of you just joining us right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Apple Band, with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, give us a ring at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can also use our chat room to get involved with our guests and our show. It's SimonApple04 by name. It's at blogtalkradio.com. And Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is still in the room. While the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook timeline. So click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, following instructions, and other people can be live with you. A few years ago, our guest and his co-founder of the company he founded called 5x5 were on our show. At the time, they were doing programs like Fashion Star for NBC. Well, 5x5's latest work is Separation Anxiety. It's a relationship game show that premiered this past Tuesday on TBS. Joining us, or I should say rejoining us live from Los Angeles, co-founder of 5x5, executive producer of Separation, Rick Reebok. Rick, great to have you back. And Rick, are you there? Hang on for 1 second. Let's see if we can get him now on the line. Rick Reebok, are you there? Okay, for some reason, I think he may have dropped off the line. So, Rick, if you can hear us, give us a call back, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And let me see if we do have him now. Rick Reebok of 5x5 Media, are you there? Okay, apparently not. So, Rick, if you can hear me, give us a recall, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906, and we will get you on the air ASAP. And once again, if you would like to be part of the program, all it takes is use that phone number I just mentioned or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, if you would like to catch our show Monday, do so, and you'll catch Mark Rocco. He is executive producer of The Passion. It's Dick Clark Productions' new Fox special based on the famous Passion play, live from New Orleans a week from Sunday, hosted and narrated by Tyler Perry. And also, coming up on Friday, a very special lead guest will be Anthony Hemingway, the chief director of American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, currently running Tuesday nights on FX to a great review. A lot of people think Hemingway is going to get an Emmy nomination from it. And if not for that, then for Underground, the WG America drama about the Underground Railroad premiered on Wednesday night to rave reviews and wonderful viewership. He is the director on that program. He's also a key executive producer. Let me see if Rick Reebok from 5x5 and Separation Anxiety is now on the line. Rick, are you there? Still not. Okay. We'll keep trying. Rick, if you can hear me, give us a recall. Redial the number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. 652-2906. And as soon as you redial the number, we will get you back on the line. You know, this past Wednesday night was a wonderful turning point for diversity on television because at 10 o'clock, you had your choice of two very diverse series to watch, one new and one wrapping up. The new one, of course, was Underground, which started on WGN America and got rave reviews, wonderful viewership. 1.4 million people saw the actual 10 o'clock Underground hour. Another million or so saw three other replays later that night. It's WGN America's most watched original premiere so far in its young history of about 2 years or so. And I have a feeling that, like Outsiders, that we said at the top of the show, has just been renewed, that their first original series of 2016, that Underground is definitely going to get renewed pretty quickly. As I mentioned, Anthony Hemingway, the director of Underground, will be with us. Incidentally, we are still trying to get the creators of Underground, Misha Green and Joe Pasakik, will be with us. We hope to have them with us on Monday's show. So keep your fingers crossed. We tried to get them on Monday and Tuesday this week. Unfortunately, because of logistics and because of their schedule coming from Los Angeles to New York and then having the special event at the Schomburg Center, which went very, very well, they could not be with us on either day. So we're shooting to have them on as our lead guest for Monday's episode. So keep your fingers crossed, Queens of Underground. The other show, of course, was the wrap-up of American Crime on ABC. I have raved about the show all season long. I think it's the best show on broadcast television, and its second season, it went for the heights and shot it. I thought the episode, which was written by Diana Son, the Asian-American playwright, who now is working on her own series, that hopefully will be on the air this coming season, and directed by Nicole Kepler, was absolutely terrific. It left a lot of things open-ended, and that was the point of the show, was to raise a lot of issues and give you the chance to say, like, how do you think this plot or this character would go? Congratulations to everybody involved in making American Crime special. I hope it wins the Peabody Award in a couple of weeks, and I hope that ABC will make the call to give it a third season. I saw the interviews that John Ridley, the executive producer and key writer-director of American Crime, did yesterday to the Hollywood Reporter, a variety of other trade publications, Entertainment Week as well. And he's very, very settled in the fact that if it is the second season, no heads unbowed here. Everyone goes out in the high with the acclaim that they've gotten. And John, of course, is working on a Marvel comic adaptation for ABC, as well as another series that may go on the air this fall. So John is in no problems in terms of future work. He definitely will be a television force for some time to come. I hope you get a chance to see American Crime. I know they did have an uptick in the audience in the Nielsen ratings yesterday, and that's good to hear. And we're hoping, of course, that at some point ABC will make the call to bring it back. But it was a wonderful thing to see people have a choice of diversity in a very special way, whether it was with American Crime on ABC or Underground on WGN America. And if you haven't heard, WGN America has just greenlighted a pilot of a DC comic character that is Native American called Scalper, a very popular comic, I understand, and the hope is that GN America will put it on the air if they approve the pilot this fall or early in 2017. Let's keep our fingers crossed, especially given the interest that's be coming on the rise of Native American programming, and of course the arrival a couple of years ago of FNX, First Nation Experience, and our story that we did a couple weeks ago on the upcoming All Nations Network that hopes to premiere with a lot of original scripted and unscripted programming produced in the United States later this year. All right, we are still awaiting Rick Greenback. He is the executive producer of Separation Anxiety that premiered this past Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TBS. And we're waiting for him to come on the air. So, Rick, if you hear us, give us the ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or communicate with our chat room, Simon Apple, 0 4 minute blocks of radio.com. Let us know what's going on, and we will take it from there. Incidentally, TBS has something very special coming its way, and it kicks off next week, along with its sister networks TNT and True TV. It's the latest coverage of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, a.k.a. March Madness. True TV kicks off with the first fall. I believe it's on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then, of course, Thursday, Friday, TBS TNT joins True TV in first and second round coverage throughout the day and evening. And for the first time in a groundbreaking move, TBS will carry the final game in April on cable for the first time. First time it's been off CBS ever, or broadcast ever. And we'll see how it goes. And once again, also, TBS will carry, or TNT will carry, the final four games that Saturday. So once again, March Madness kicks off the latest NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Tournament this Tuesday with the first four on True TV. That's on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then TBS and TNT join True in presenting complete first and second round action. They'll also carry the regional semifinals, some of the regional final action along with CBS. And, of course, you can check out CBS.com. You can check out also TBS, TNT, and TrueTV.com for all the latest information. Of course, Election Sunday happens early Sunday evening on CBS with initial coverage on CBS Sports Network, on ESPN, and other NBC Sports Network, and other services. I'm sure will be doing their own selection interviews. Also, don't forget, the NCAA Women's Tournament gets off the ground with Selection Monday. That's coming up Monday night on ESPN. And, of course, ESPN, ESPN2, the ESPN Family Networks will be carrying all 63 games of that tournament starting later next weekend. So make sure you check that out. Of course, they'll carry the final game exclusively on ESPN. So definitely will be a lot of great basketball, both men's and women's, coming up. I think it will be very wide open tournaments, both men and women's side. No clear favorite this time. Well, maybe in the case of the women's, Connecticut, with Gino Rienne and his wonderful crew that every year seems to make it to the finals. They got another good shot again. But there are some other teams on their tail, like Notre Dame, South Carolina, and others. So you never know. Not necessarily an automatic lock. And, of course, Blog Talk Radio will have shows throughout the week that keep you abreast of what's going on with both the NCAA men's and women's tournament. All right, well, we are still waiting for Rick Ringback from 5x5, the company founded with Craig Armstrong several years ago, to join us. Their latest work is Separation Anxiety, which is on Tuesday night at 10:50 Pacific Time, hosted by Eliza Schlesinger on TBS, the home for the very funny programming, along, of course, Conan, Big Bang Theory, and other originals as well. Incidentally, this is not the first series of 5x5 with TBS. They also did a number of years, King of the Nerds, with Robert Carradine and the gang from Revenge of the Nerds. They also, for TNT, did The Hero with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So I'll tell you what, we're going to try to get Rick on the line. Incidentally, when we had Rick and Craig on several years ago, one of the topics we also covered was crowdfunding, specifically equity crowdfunding. At the time, 5x5 made a deal with a company called Early Shares to try to get investments through equity crowdfunding for new original programming, both scripted and unscripted. Of course, at the time, equity crowdfunding was awaiting approval by the Securities Exchange Commission along with the rest of crowdfunding. We've seen what's happened since. We've seen a number of interesting TV programming and technology ventures get funded through crowdfunding, and equity crowdfunding finally became the law of the land thanks to the SEC in February, just about a month ago, and we still will be seeing what happens. So we wanted to find out from Rick whether now that equity crowdfunding is available, not just on the national level, on the state level, but I believe by 15, 20 states now have equity crowdfunding laws where people can invest up to $1 million in a particular venture. We wanted to see where their position on equity crowdfunding is at the moment. So once again, we're waiting for Rick Ringback to join us. Rick, if you hear us, give us a ring again, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we get you up, we will get you on. Once again, we want to remind all of you that coming up, we got some wonderful guests coming your way next week. We're back on Monday-Friday schedule. And coming up on Monday, among our guests, is the executive producer of The Passion, coming to Fox next Sunday night, hosted and narrated by Tyler Perry, The Passion Play Live from New Orleans. Mark Bacco will join us. And then again, next Friday, 1 week from today, our lead guest is Anthony Hemingway, the acclaimed director of American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson on FX. That's Tuesday night, I believe, at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. And Underground, just made its debut nearly 40 hours ago on WGN America. That's all coming up next Sunday. Then next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And remember, if you can't catch us live, catch us on the rebound at our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we're available 24/7 on podcast through iTunes.com. The great thing about the podcast is you can download to your smartphone or tablet and take us on the go anytime you like. And remember, if you have Apple TV 2.0, where you can use apps from Airbnb to Zillow, you can use the new iTunes podcast app, get our program, other Blog Talk Radio shows in podcast form, and you can watch and hear us through your television set. And if you don't have Apple TV 2.0, get it through the Apple Store near you or online. All right, we'll wait another 30 seconds, and if we don't get Rick, we will call it a day, and we'll reschedule him for an upcoming episode later this month. Okay, so it sounds like we have some sort of technical breakdown that is not allowing Rick to join us, so we apologize for that. We will get to the root of the problem, get it resolved, and have Rick on a future episode. If you want to find out more about Separation Anxiety, which is on Tuesday nights now on TBS, 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time, go to www.tbs.com. That's www.tbs.com. Remember, TBS, along with True TV and TNT, is your home, along with CBS, for the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship March Madness. Coverage begins Tuesday with the first four on True TV, Tuesday and Wednesday. First second-round coverage in its entirety, up and down the line, starting early afternoon on all three networks and CBS. So check your local listings once the selections are made on Sunday. Check your local listings for the games in your area and the games carried on which network. And, of course, for more details about those games, TBS.com, TNT.com, TrueTV.com as well. We want to thank all of our guests for being with us today and throughout the week. We had a wonderful bunch of guests throughout the week, and we really appreciate them being on and you being on to hear them and respond to them, as Rick Webb did, as well. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, once again, Mark Brucko, the executive producer of The Passion, that's coming next Sunday in primetime on Fox. And next Friday, our lead guest, Anthony Hemingway, the acclaimed director of American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson, and Underground, where he's also an executive producer, he'll be with us as our lead guest. That's next Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Remember, if you came in on our episode late today, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, one more time, the homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. Check out the podcast version. A lot of you are at iTunes.com. We've had over 4,000 replays so far, well ahead of pace compared to last month, and we thank you all for that. Remember, with our podcast, you can download it to your smartphone or tablet and take us on the go anytime you like. And if you have Apple TV 2.0, watch and see us through a television set on the brand new iTunes podcast app. You can also check out my Robbie Televised columns. They run regularly at Mediados.com, Jack Meyer's website with Stuart Elliott, a lot of other great people. And you can catch my columns on Spanish language television and my new set of columns on the upfront new front events that started last week. That's all at Mediados.com, wonderful resource of media commentary and analysis. Whether you're in the industry or not, it's good reading. So check it out, Mediados.com. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today? And what do you think about where TV is at and where it's going? The only way I can find out is you raise your voice and raise your email to SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're from. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question each week. It also gets you involved in a feature we call a show to know. If there's a TV show or network that you think doesn't get enough attention, let me know. If you use your thoughts on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, and where I post interesting thoughts about where we are at and what guests are coming up every week. You can also follow me on Twitter at my own hashtag, UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We really love hearing from you, so go right ahead. Let us know. I do respond to emails and other things within 24 hours. And why do we make a big emphasis on what we hear from you? Here's why. Because what you say matters. So make it happen, and then get credit for it. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy Domestico and Candace Williams. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you this afternoon by Audible.com, an Amazon company, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Remember, you want that free book and 30-day free trial, go to audibletrial.com/televise. That's audibletrial.com/televise and sign up. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll catch you Monday if you're in the New York area at noon on BK Live on BRIC TV. And then later in the day, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, for our next episode right here on Blog Talk Radio. Be there and be participating. And I hope for this weekend, among all other things, you be safe and you be great. Do so. You'll have a better time this weekend. And we want to have you back at 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know where, so be there. Until next time, stay well. There you go. I got Luke. Got that. Let me try it again. Take two. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.